internet just to do it when he gets here. So, you know, one of the things about the Psalms, and we're in Psalms 68 this week, but one of the things about the Psalms is some of the Psalms, I like Psalms primarily because I kind of understand them. You know, nowadays, whenever I sing especially newer songs, like since the, what, 60s? Maybe later, maybe earlier. There's songs, whenever I sing the song, lots of times I have no clue as to what I'm saying. I don't know what the song means. I don't know where it came from. I don't know anything about it. You know, one of my favorite songs of all time is Bye Bye Miss American Pie. I have no idea what that means. But anyways, but it's a great song. It's one of my favorites, you know. And one of the reasons I like Trans-Siberian Orchestra, which you guys go to, is because they do rock operas. And I like a rock opera because I can actually follow what the song is talking about. Probably one of the most famous is Tommy, you know, by The Who, where, you know, you can actually go through and you can follow, and I know what the song means. I know what the words stand for. And that's one of the things I like about the Psalms. Whenever we read the Psalms, for the most part, I get it. I understand what it is that he's singing about. He doesn't sing with cryptic words and with strange phrases. He just says what's on his heart. And I like the Psalms because of that. Tonight in Psalm 68, it's a rather long psalm. Thank you, Joe. And it's not as bad as 119, but it's pushing it. 35 verses. But anyways, it's a great psalm. And I'm going to try to do honor to it. There's so much in it that I could say, and I apologize if you read it and you go, well, why didn't Eddie say something about this? Because that's a really good part. And I'll agree with you, but I can only do so much. So I apologize ahead of time. If I leave out something that you think is an important point, you can always talk with me later. Psalm chapter 68, beginning of verse 1. I'm going to read the first six verses, and I'm going to read them out of the Message Bible. There's a lot of different translations out there, and some of them aren't. They're more of a, it's trying to put it into what they think it's supposed to feel like in common day words. And sometimes I get it pretty close. Most of the time I'm going, I don't know. But I like kind of how he describes the first six verses here. And I want you to listen to what we're talking about, what he talks about. He says, up with God, down with his enemies. Adversaries, run for your hills. Gone like a puff of smoke, like a blob of wax in the fire. One look at God, and the wicked vanish. When the righteous see God in action, they'll laugh. They'll sing. They'll laugh and sing for joy. Sing hymns to God, all heaven. Sing out. Clear the way for the coming of the cloud rider. Enjoy God. Cheer when you see him. Father of orphans, champion of widows, is God in his holy house. God makes homes for the homeless, leads prisoners to freedom, but leaves the rebels to rot in hell. It captures the idea that the first part of this is, and we're going to talk about five different kind of a progression in this psalm about how he's going to be talking about, talking about God and God's might and who God is and where God comes from. And the first part is these first six verses, and basically what he's trying to tell us is that God promises us that evil will be vanquished. God is greater than evil. You know, in my own life sometimes, I kind of start doubting sometimes. I get to thinking sometimes the evil that is in this world, the evil even that's inside Eddie sometimes, seems to be too much. I know I'm a Christian. I know I've been baptized. I know that I come to church. I know I try to do right. And yet at times it seems like the evil just is too much. And I try to put it down. I try to beat it. And even sometimes I'll turn it over to God and I'll say, God, take this evil from me. And God does it only for me to turn around and jump right back in with both feet. Sometimes it just seems like the evil is too much. And I know that that's not true, but I know, and he starts out by saying it here, that God always, always wins. There's three scriptures I just want to point out very quickly in the New Testament to talk about this idea. The first one is that God is victorious over temptation. that with using God, he can beat temptation. And temptation to me is a huge deal. We have to be, I just don't know how else to say it. I think that sometimes we go around acting like, well, I mean, I'm not really even tempted. And then whenever we're alone in our room or we're gone someplace or something like that, suddenly it just kind of like, nobody will know. No, it's temptation is a big deal, but God has victory over temptation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 13, it says, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. What you're going through is not new. It's not something that God doesn't understand or God doesn't realize. It's not even something that Jesus didn't understand. To sit here and say Jesus didn't have temptation, I can almost, well, he even says, I believe, in Hebrews pretty much, he was tempted like all men, does it not? In all ways? Right? But it says here that it's common to mankind. God is faithful and he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you're tempted, he'll also provide a way out so that you can endure it. God is victorious over our temptations. You have a temptation, you have something, turn it over to God. You know, I find that my single biggest problem with temptations is I just feed them. I let them sit there and I just let them grow. Whenever I turn something over to God, whenever I quit feeding it and I say, I'm not going to worry about that anymore. I'm not going to do that. Another problem with temptations to me is the fact that lots of times I act on them. Usually kind of fast, too. Have you ever done that with that? I find that whenever you have a temptation, whatever the temptation might be, whether it's to do something that you shouldn't be doing or maybe not doing something you should be doing. How many times have you found yourself watching TV when you should be doing something else? How many times have you found yourself doing something that going someplace that you don't really think you should be going, but then you end up going there and you go, well, why'd I go there? Why'd I do that? We all do this kind of stuff, but I find that part of the thing to do is if you'll just give yourself a little time before you do it. Go, I'll just give myself, I'll go watch the show, but what I'll do is I'll just put 5 minutes into doing whatever it is I'm supposed to do, and then I'll go watch the show. And it's funny how all of a sudden you get wrapped up in doing what you're supposed to do than what you're tempted to do. Turn it over to God and just give yourself an opportunity to do what God would have you to do. God is victorious over temptation. The second thing is God is victorious over sin. It says here that in Romans chapter 8, verse 35 through 39, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness, or danger, or sword, as it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We're considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, nor the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor heights, nor depths, or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God is victorious over sin. And the third thing, and he kind of mentions it here, is God is victorious over death. I don't have to fear death. I never even think about it anymore. There used to be a time whenever I went out of my way to try to live another 5 days. That's what I look at it as. Aren't we constantly trying to live our life a little longer on this earth? You know why I want to do that? Because I like this earth. I like my life. You have to admit, come on. We live in Ventura, right? Look at the weather. Look at what we've got around you. Look at the people I'm friends with. Look at the family I've got. Look at all the stuff. I like this life. I get to thinking, this is my head talking to me, saying, I think this life is pretty good. You know what happens whenever I die? I go to heaven. But like Jim was it you talking about this morning about heaven? Who was it that was talking about heaven? No, maybe it was another speaker I was listening to. I've listened to stuff on the radio and, well, YouTube, computer. But anyways, it was talking about the heaven, that we used to think, I grew up thinking that whenever you died, you got to go to church eternally. Isn't that fun? That's what I want to do. And I started saying, no, I don't want to. That doesn't sound fun. In fact, I don't like the unknown. How many people here like the unknown? That's just what you jump into. You know, I like doing whatever I have no clue is what I'm doing. No, not most of us. Not saying we don't do it sometimes. I know people have jumped out of airplanes. But I don't do it because I don't understand it lots of times. And sometimes I find myself thinking, this life on earth is pretty good. I want to extend it as long as I can. And gratefully, to this day right now, I don't feel that way anymore. I'm happy right now, but I'm happy. If God were to call me the next, just while I'm talking right here and I just drop dead, nobody mourn over me because I'm happy. Victory over death. 1 Corinthians 15:54-57. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with the immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Because the sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God, he has given us the victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So Jesus is God is victorious. Jesus is victorious over evil. Evil cannot win. Second thing, verses 8 through 17. Let's see, I'm going to read this out of the normal version. All right, NIV. When you, God, went out before your people, when you marched through the wilderness, the earth shook. The heavens poured down rain before God, the one of Sinai, before God, the God of Israel. You gave abundant showers, O God. You refreshed your weary inheritance. Your people settled in it. And from your bounty, God, you provided for the poor. The Lord announces the word, and the women who proclaim it are a mighty throng. Kings of armies flee in haste. The women at home divide the plunder. Even while you sleep among the sheep pens, the wings of my dove are sheathed with silver, its feathers with shining gold. And when the Almighty scattered the kings in the land, it was like snow falling in the Mount Zalmon, Mount Bashan, or Bashan. Majestic mountain, Mount Bashan, rugged mountain. Why gaze and envy, you rugged mountain, at the mountain where God chooses to reign, where the Lord himself will dwell forever? The chariots of God are tens of thousands and thousands of thousands. The Lord has come from Sinai into his sanctuary. The second thing that we read about this is, first of all, God is victorious over evil. The second thing is the fact that, how do I know that? Because he's already shown us. He's talking specifically here about the journey into Israel from Egypt. And as the Jews travel across the desert, God time and again provides for them. It says he rains on them. It says he gives them the rain when they need the rain. He said in the desert, he's taking care of them. Whenever they need food, he sent them manna. Whenever they needed meat, he sent them quail. Whenever they needed water, he provided water. Whenever they need protection from the enemy, he provided protection. When they got to the land was flowing with milk and honey. When they went across the river, God parted the waters. Whenever they got to Jericho, they marched around and the walls fell in. What did God do? Everything. God can be victorious over the evil. How do I know? Because he's shown it to me. He's shown it in my own life. He's shown it through his word. And there are several places that say that. You know, in Romans 13:11-12, it says, do this, understanding the present time, the hour has already come for you to awake up from your slumber. Because our salvation is now nearer now than when we first believed. The night is near over, the day is almost here. So let us... Oh, wait a minute. That's part four. I'm sitting there going, that doesn't sound right. Get me over here. Oh, here we go. All I was going to say about this one was this. You'll get to hear that later. Just embrace it. Think about all the different people, though, that God did this. Noah, Elisha, Elijah, Moses, we talked about. How many times did God rescue his people? What about Daniel? What about the people that God rescued? What about Jesus coming to this earth? We know we're victorious. We know God is victorious. Why? Because he's proven it to us. We have no reason to doubt. I can doubt. You know, one of the strongest things for me in my journey, in my walk, is being able to see what God is doing through you guys. Because whenever I look at you and I can see God working through you, and I can see that you are people that God has transformed and made whole, then I see hope for me. And that's what God is victorious about. And that's what David is singing right now in this song. God, you know, because you've been there and you've done that. The next section starts in verse 18. And goes like this. When you ascended on high, you took many captives. You received gifts from people, even from the rebellious, that you, Lord God, might dwell there. Praise be the Lord to God, our Savior, who daily bears our burden. Our God is a God who saves from the sovereign. Lord comes. Okay, our God is a God who saves. There we go. From the sovereign Lord comes escape from death. Surely God will crush the heads of his enemy, the hairy crowns of those who go on in their sins. So the next part is that God reigns now. That God is our king. He's the one that's over our family. He's the one that's over our country. He's the one that's over the world. He's the one that's over the universe. God reigns. He is the one in control. So not only is he the one that can and wants to defeat evil, not only is he the one that proved to us that he does love us enough to defeat evil and can do it and has done it, but he is the king. He is the one who has the power to do it. He's the ruler, the Lord. He is our Father. You know, sometimes I can remember, let me just not say sometimes, but I can remember relying on my dad whenever we had a problem. My dad used to, and I've shared this before, but we used to like to go out and take rides in the car. I think that was a thing back whenever, you know, we were younger. Not so much now, but we used to go for rides. And we'd go out, and we lived right on the edge of Oklahoma City, and so you went like two minutes and you were in the country, right? And so we're driving out in the country, and we'd drive out there, and my dad liked to find these old dirt roads and drive down these old dirt roads and just take it where it took us, you know? And sometimes we got back late at night, and we just had a blast, and we'd sing songs and just look at the fireflies and do whatever we wanted to do while we're riding along in the car. It was a great time. But every now and then, at least twice I can remember, we got stuck in mud. Now, we're out in the middle of nowhere at night. You can't see a house from where we are. You can't see a light from where we are. All we are, we're stuck in mud, and we can't move. But you know what? We always got out. And I always knew we would. You know why? Because my dad is my dad. That's the way it is. He was the one that knew how to get us out of this stuck car syndrome, whatever it was. Because we did it more than once. I'm going to put it as syndrome. We got out of that stuff. You know, whenever there was a problem, my dad knew how to get us out of that. And our God is our king. He knows how to get us out. He's ruling. He's in charge. Moses' song is, you know, whenever Moses came out of Egypt and brought, he sings this long song, and Miriam at the end plays the tambourine and sings along. And in that, towards the end, he says, "The Lord, he reigns forever and ever." God reigns. And Paul to Timothy says, here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I am shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Peter says much the same thing. We have a God that can, that is reigning. He's in charge. I like that. The next section is verses 23-30. It reads this way. The Lord says, I will bring them from Bashan. I will bring them from the depths of the sea, that your feet may wade in the blood of your foes, while the tongues of your dogs have their share. Your procession, God, has come into view, the procession of my God and King into the sanctuary. In front are the singers, after them the musicians, and with them the young women playing the timbrels. Praise God in the great congregation. Praise the Lord in the assembly of Israel. There is the little tribe of Benjamin leading them. There the great throng of Judah's princes. And there the princes of Zebulun and of Naphtali. Summon your power, God. Show us your strength. Our God, as you have done before, because of your temple at Jerusalem, kings will bring you gifts. Rebuke the beasts among the reeds, the herd of bulls among the calves. Calves of the nations, humbled may the beast bring bars of silver. Scatter the nations who delight in war. The next thing is that, I love this section of verses. The next one is the idea that God has promised us. He goes through it by doing this big story. I mean, you can just see it. He's talking about God, and I can just see him say, can you see it? Can you see it over there? Just imagine this. God's procession coming into view. You see it? We've seen it before. The procession of my God and King of the sanctuary. Look, in front of the singers, and right after them, the women, the musicians, and then the young women playing the timbrels. Oh, look over there. There's Benjamin. Look at it. He's leading his group. And there's Judas' princesses. They're all coming. We're moving. We're going there. We're on our way. We're not sitting here idly, just whatever, waiting for something to happen, but we're on our way. We're part of the procession. We're part of the people on the way to meet God. In reality, actually, I guess you could say we have met God, and we do, but it's something that is hope. Oh, man, I need hope. Don't you need hope? Sometimes things get too hard. Sometimes things get too confusing. Sometimes things get too overwhelming. Sometimes I hear about, you know, the things going on in this world, I hear about, North Korea. And I think, oh, what could be worse than North Korea? And next thing I know, we got some guy shooting people up in Nevada. And I think, oh, what could be worse than shooting up people in Nevada? And I think, oh, no, there's a horrible earthquake in this country. And look at all the people that died. And look at this tsunami. And look at this. And look at this. And I look at, and after a while, I go, man, I just hope God's coming back soon. I don't like to see all this stuff. But then I have to remember, but wait a minute. But we're in the procession to see God. And I focus on where I'm going, and I let God handle the rest. Sometimes that's the best I can do. So that's the fourth thing that he talks about, is not only is he the king, but we're in that procession with the king. We're walking behind. Love that story. And this way, I got to get better glasses. Bifocals would help, but maybe someday. Envoys will come from Egypt. Cush will submit herself to God. Sing to God, you kingdoms of earth. Sing praise to the Lord, to him who rides across the highest heavens, the ancient of ancient heavens, who thunders with mighty voice. Proclaim the power of God, whose majesty is over Israel, whose power is in the heavens. You, God, are awesome in your sanctuary. The God of Israel gives power and strength to his people. Praise be to God. That's the end. And the last thing is for me, and I don't know, I that last one, I don't really have much to say about it because I think it says pretty much what it means right there. But I got to thinking, you know, that Jesus didn't come in this world to save Eddie. He came to save everyone. Jesus died for all of the people here on earth. The strength doesn't come in me knowing God. The strength doesn't come in me knowing the procession I'm in or that God is victorious or this kind of stuff. The strength comes whenever I share this with somebody else. Sometimes it gets a little hard because, you know, I get so busy with so many things. But that is what it's really all about, people. Really what it's all about. I don't mean going out and preaching to your neighbor and all this kind of, sometimes I made it so complicated that I couldn't do it if I'd wanted to. You know? Sometimes I put myself into a position where I thought, I can't do it. And I couldn't, not from the way I was thinking. So find a place where you can pass it on. Look. You know, God is weird. Jim said, and I know you said this morning, sometimes, you know, God puts us in the right place at the right time. He just, it pops up there. We say, God, help me with something, and boom, there it is. That's why I say be careful what you pray for. You ask for patience. God will give you something to have patience about. I almost guarantee it. You know? If you really mean it, if you say it and you really mean it, God, I need help with, then God's going to tell you what to do, and he will show you. And if you ask God, say, God, is there somebody near me, somebody I can affect, somebody that needs my encouragement right now? Maybe it's encouraging one of you guys. Maybe it's somebody at my work. Maybe it's somebody, a neighbor. Maybe it's somebody in my family. Who knows what it is? I don't know. But if I'll open that door and I'll say, God, show me who it is that I can pass on the gift that you've given to me, I'll guarantee you God will do it. All you have to do is then keep your eyes open and keep your feet moving. You know, that may be the hardest part, huh? So, Psalm 68. It's a song of victory. Victory over the evil that's in this world. How do I know? Because he's done it before. How do I know he'll do it? Because he's the king. How do I know that? What's my part in this? I'm with the procession. And what's it all about? It's about saving the world. So, thanks for coming tonight. Let's all stand and sing.